This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Not much. Today, what he's sneaky. We're talking politics, and then we're talking ex-employees, we're talking stuff, and all of a sudden says, and now you're on. Bam, just like that, we go in. And that, you know, I can handle that, Tom. But see, what's happened with Pastor Tom is he got semi-retired here for a while because he had some people here filling in and doing a really good job. Today he comes in, he says, how do I do this job?
I don't remember.
One of the perks of getting old are these senior moments.
Well, even if you do remember, you can claim not to remember.
That's the nice thing about having senior moments.
And
right?
Nobody
can tell the difference. That's well, right. You wear senior as well as anybody I've ever seen.
Do I?
Yeah. You could be a troop leader.
Senior scout leader.
Okay. This is Joe Martech. This is the Team Martech Hour. And the whole team abandoned me today because on our other...
Not the whole team.
Well, no, but Alan's only a guest team member.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's a guest team member. So I show up in Fort
Esteemed
Pierce.
Esteemed guest.
What kind of guest is he?
Esteemed.
Esteemed. Ooh-wee.
And I abandoned you for the last 3 weeks because of minor instances that prevented me from being here on Wednesday afternoon, but I'm back today. Everything's well, except for Wall Street today, a little bit on the downside.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit because this is... Part of what our job is to educate. Let me just explain what Team Martech does. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker, securities principal. Lots of licenses, been around for 20-some years, clients in 13 states. My job is to make people money or to save people money or protect their money. Whatever their goal might be, my job is to make sure that they achieve their goal to the best of my ability. And thank you, Lord, I've been able to do some really good things for people. But everybody knows there's no such thing as knowing everything unless you're Jesus Christ, and he doesn't hang out on our show very often, so I can't ask him every question that needs to be answered. So we have to bring in other professionals to pick up the slack. So in our group of professionals, very credible, experienced people, are Vince Rizzino, CPA. Vince Rizzino is also a college professor, a forensic CPA, which means he has credentials enough to testify in the court system. We have Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who's only 37 years in business, who, in my not too humble opinion, is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. Under his umbrella of the companies he represents is roughly 100 companies. And Dan has been able to do magnificent things for a lot of people. And the way you do magnificent things for a lot of people when you're an independent insurance agent is basically get them the same or better coverage than they have for their home, their car, their business at a better rate. Now, the way you have a better rate is if you are a better risk. And Dan does the extra mile to make sure people understand in order to be a better risk, you have to provide the right information to be a better risk. You know, in fact, the story I told this morning on the show about a lady that called us on this show, and she called up and she said, you know, I had this old guy with white hair out taking pictures of my horse ranch, and I walked up to him and I said, who are you? And he says, Dan Warren. She said, why are you here? Well, you talked to my office about an insurance quote. So she spent a good half hour with Dan toting him around that place. He took a lot of pictures, sent them in to the underwriters. In the insurance business, the first quote underwriter is the agent. who is supposed to submit business to the companies that fits their criteria. So then Dan did such a thing, and she called in to testify for Dan that not only did he get her the same or better coverage, but he saved her $2,000 a year. Now, that's a pretty substantial chunk of money. And that's what the premier individual insurance agent is supposed to do, the independent. Then we also have Mr. Greg Fasula, attorney. Boy, oh boy, why would I have an attorney in the group? Well, one of the first things I do when I talk to a new suspect or prospect is talk about a will or a trust. They call it estate planning. Basically, if you die without such things, the state's got it all figured out for you, and your family's going to be very unhappy. So the concept of putting the heart, the horse, and the cart in the same, in the right order is important to me. So I feel it's somewhat my responsibility to do that. Then we have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Why is she important? Well, we went through one of the worst recessions, or maybe the worst recession in the history of America, that was as close to a depression as we could get, and the real estate market really took the hit. So words came up that we had never heard before, especially short sale, and there was foreclosures, deed backs, etc. So we needed a extremely credible realtor, and Ms. Victoria Lloyd has only been a realtor or in a real estate business since 1978. And for a girl 30 years old, that's pretty hard to do. But she managed to pull it off. And then, because the horse and the cart needed to be in proper order, she brought in a guy named Mike Polis.
Why do I have to be last, Joe?
Because you came in last. I'm doing this. I'm trying to do this in the order of when we started.
Mm-hmm.
And I got sidetracked a little bit. But hey, that happens. You know, when you get old, you get sidetracked. You're allowed. You know, you get... Well, Mike became probably the most critical member there for a couple, 3 years, because when the recession hit, the real estate market died. Then the word on the media, all of the media, has anybody ever heard of the media out there telling fake news?
And they're always right.
And they're always right, that there was no mortgage money available. So Mike joined the team and said, wait a minute, that's not true. There's always been. Like this USDA program was there, and that's 100% financing.
You know, some of the products went away. The products that probably should have went away did go away, these subprime loans.
Right.
And they were pretty much non-existent.
For a good period.
Yeah, 2009, 2010. They are making a comeback, though.
Well, when he said subprime, what happens is this. Let's say you're a retired couple and you got $2 million in the bank, but all you've got is Social Security income and it's $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a ratio of income to debt, and you want to go out and buy this house for X, whatever the number is. That ratio may not work based on normal criteria for people with jobs. Sure. On the other hand, a lender might say, hey, wait a minute, he's got $2 million sitting in the bank. Mm-hmm. He can pick up $10,000, $20,000 a year easily in income. So we're going to change the rules a little bit for him and call it a non-conforming mortgage rather than a conforming one. Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah. Well, back when the subprime loans were around, we had products that, you know, were meant for either self-employed borrowers or just like the borrowers that you described, people with a lot of assets. Maybe those assets haven't materialized any income yet. So what we did is, we came out with some no income verification loans. Now, those loans are still have gone by the wayside because back in January 2014, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau pretty much outlawed those programs. So now they have a new rule that said that any lender lending mortgage money has to verify the borrower's ability to repay. That's what it's called, the ability to repay rule.
You know, it's a funny thing. But that was the original rule. I'm talking back in the 70s when I was in real estate. The criteria for getting a mortgage was ability to pay. You had to prove you could afford to make the payment. What a novel concept.
Yeah, but you know, a lot when they came out with these no income verification loans, they originally came out and they could do those responsibly. Yeah. They originally came out for well-qualified borrowers, people with a lot of assets, or you know, people with great credit, or people with a large down payment. And the problem is they took that and they expanded upon it. Now, all of a sudden, they were doing it for people with 5% down or 10% down. And maybe that wasn't the wisest choice to make, or people with marginal credit. So they took that good product and they kind of manipulated it into a bad product.
Yeah.
So Now what they've done is, so there's some lenders dipping their toes in the water again, and now they're called non-QM or non-qualified mortgages. And it's not because the borrowers aren't qualified for to make the payments. It's just that it doesn't meet the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's guidelines. So they kind of rebranded themselves in from subprime, because that's a bad term.
They changed the term, right?
Yeah, and now they're called non-QM or non-qualified mortgages.
You know,
but they have some good products out there.
When I was first moved to Florida in 1976, I think I told you, I worked for Chase Manhattan Bank. Mm-hmm. And the banks, after the 74-75 recession, owned pretty much the whole state of Florida, because back then they would build 100, 200, 300 unit condominium project and sell not one unit, but they'd build the whole thing out. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden the banks realized that was a mistake. They ended up owning the state. And I joke about that, but they had millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of empty residential housing, mm-hmm, all over the state of Florida. So my first job was working for Chase, working as an officer for a division of Chase to get rid of some projects they had. And I remember talking to one of the bankers who's no longer a bank anymore. And we had this high-rise building on the Gulf of Mexico in Clearwater. No units sold, of course. And I says, boy, it'll never happen again if banks make this mistake. And the guy said, don't count on it. He says, what'll happen is all the guys that made these bad loans, one of two things has happened to them. I said, what's that? He says, they either got fired or promoted. It yeah. was one of the other.
Now, why would you promote people?
And, like and I thought, I didn't ask that next question, but the bottom line is they had to have people fit the saddle. There's certain jobs that needed to be there. And just because, and what happened is the banks would tell these guys out in the field, we need to make loans. We need to make loans. We need to make loans because we can't make any money if we're not making loans. Well, all of a sudden, too much money was available, too many loans were made, mm-hmm, and then the criteria changed overnight for qualifying for the loans. Mm-hmm. And now the banks took it all back. So, hey, these things, so like he said, it will happen again.
Yeah, and it did. It did happen in 2004 and 5 when the real estate boom hit.
Yeah.
And exactly how you described it.
Yeah. And I'm sure hey, guess what? It'll happen again 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. It was like a 7 to 10 year window that the roller coaster can up and down. And I don't think anything in the world changes. Maybe the window, the roller coaster may be a little longer from time to time or shorter from time to time, mm-hmm, but that's it. So
now we have these products. They're now called non-QM loans.
Right.
And we do have to verify their income because the CFPB told us we have to. But the CFPB doesn't state exactly how we have to verify the income. So now we're getting more creative in how we verify income.
Uh-huh.
So if you're a self-employed borrower, there's bank statement programs out there where we can take either 12 months or 24 months worth of your business or personal checking account statements, look at the deposits going into those accounts, and determine your income based on the cash flow into the account.
Neat.
So it's still verifying your income, just a different twist on it.
Different twist, right? Right.
And we also have asset depletion loans, which means that if you do have that retired borrower with $1 million in the bank, we can monetize that and divide that by a number of months and use that as income to qualify for
your
loan.
Well, think about this. If you're 70 years old and you got $1 million in the bank and you spend 20 grand a year, you're not going to live 50 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. but that's with no interest. Mm-hmm. You know, so yes, there's ways to repay that loan. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. And we have a guest, I was told esteemed guest by Pastor Tom here just a minute ago, Mr. Alan Love, who is a retired attorney, ex-financial or still kind of a financial advisor, a frequent guest. And in fact, Alan was on the program this morning, Mike. You'd have got a kick out of it. So I show up and Alan's there. And then Dan came in, and then Greg came in, and then Victoria came in.
I'm glad I didn't show up on this.
Yeah, you'd have had to sit on top of the roof because there was no room for anybody. But we got into a really big political discussion, which we're not going to do on Christian radio, but we are going to talk about something that does affect people's lives. There we got big time political, mm-hmm, because Greg, you know, our flaming moderate, boy, I'm having a hard time, liberal. And then, of course, we had Alan, who's the exact opposite on the other side. So he was kind of picking on Greg a little bit, but Greg can handle it pretty well. But we had a good show. We had 7 or 8 phone callers that wanted to complain about the state of especially Social Security and a few other things that were going on. But anyway, we had a good show. But what I wanted to talk about today, because it's a very timely subject, is the stock market. Mm-hmm. Now, anybody that follows the stock market, even a tiny little bit, watch the news. Today, the last few minutes before you got here, I'm sure you know, the Dow was down roughly 325 points.
And it was a great day in the mortgage business today.
Because interest rates went down.
Yes.
There you go. And what happens, interest rates float based on certain criteria. And today, because banks led the rush down, interest rates go down because banks don't like interest rates going down because that might affect their income. But then the consumer, all of a sudden, gets a better deal when they apply for a mortgage.
Yeah. Well, our interest rates are closely tied to the 10-year T-bill.
Right.
And that plummeted today.
So then, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what affects the market. Now, let me give you my generality, and I'm glad you came in, Mike, because Mike and I don't always agree on these subjects either. And I said to Alan, I don't want to talk very specifically ahead of the show. I want us to not necessarily agree on what I'm going to say. If you have an opinion, my job, your job, our job is to help educate people so they can make good decisions. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about the Dow represents 30 different big American companies, right?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I'm just trying to get some confirmation here from some compadres in here.
Right.
So what they do, they do a composite of all of these 30 companies to come up with the total value of the Dow, which is roughly 21,000 points, give or take. Mm-hmm. Now, today that 21,000 points went down about 2% or 1.5%.
I have the actual figure here. The Dow closed at 20,606.93, down 372.82 points or 1.78%.
Okay, so it went down 1.78%. So a lot of people would say, wow, 300 and some odd point, but it only went down 1.78%. Mm-hmm. So let's just say you're in the bank and you were getting 6.78% interest, but now you're only going to get 5%. You're still getting 5%. It went down 1.78, which is not a tremendous change. Now, we've gone a long period of time with the overall stock market, and I'm going to use just the Dow as a gauge because there's two or three other gauges that most of us use, which is the Standard & Poor's 500, the NASDAQ. If we take those three, those are the three biggest gauges on how companies are doing. So the question is, when the stock market goes up, why does it go up? Why do the value of the Dow, the S&P 500, or the NASDAQ, why do they go up? And the answer is?
Well, there's many things I can...
Well, give me your quick opinion.
Well, technically, it's supposed to be earnings and...
Stop right there. Alan.
Yes.
Your opinion. Why does the market go up?
Agree with him. Earnings and what people perceive as far as right. The future
perceived
of the economy.
Earnings, right?
Correct. So well, nowadays, it's a lot of news hype that's driving the market.
Okay. So what happens is perception, right? Mm-hmm. Perception. Normally, the stock market, it operates 6 months to a year in advance, depending on who you talk to. Why does that? What's that mean? Well, let's say a company like Johnson & Johnson comes out with new drugs or something that just gets approved by the federal. They haven't sold one drug yet, but they assume they're going to sell a couple of billion dollars worth in the next year, so the value of their company goes up pretty dramatically right away, very often because of perception of what that drug is going to do.
Agreed.
So what happens is the gauge of the market is the profitability, basically, of these underlying companies, and it's the projected profitability going 6 months or a year out based on the criteria that are plugged into this gauge, which basically means we all think the economy is going to keep dinking along at a good pace and the companies are going to grow. And the reason the market has done really well since Trump got elected was that people are perceiving that he is actually going to, or the administration, our government, is going to achieve some of the goals that they espoused, mm-hmm. especially lower taxes,
healthcare.
help make healthcare more affordable, make it easier for businesses to
flourish.
Job
creation.
Yeah, regulation.
Job creation.
Deregulation.
Okay, so literally that usually is the gauge. So what happened today? Well, today we've got some negative news publicity on the Trump administration, which caused for a dip in the market. Here comes the $64,000 question. You ready, Alan?
Yes.
What's the market going to do tomorrow?
The market is going to open and it's going to close somewhere either unchanged above where it closed today or below where it closed today. In other words,
boy,
you can't
did predict. You really cover that one?
You cannot predict no matter what you do. Now there
I think you're on the hook for this.
I think
one.
You really I think you covered the whole thing. It's either going to do better or worse or the same.
Yes, but I'm an attorney, so I need to say it in more words than I did.
The attorneys get paid by the words, yeah. So you don't. So, are you done?
All I was going to say is, anybody who says to you they know what the market's going to do in a short period of time or even a long period of time, they have no way of knowing. Because if you can tell me what companies are going to continue to do well over the next 10 years, what companies aren't going to do well, then you should be able to be a millionaire quite quickly if you're a younger person. But you can't. No. My prime example of that in recent history is there was a company, a part of the Dow Jones 30 Industrials, the 30 biggest companies, industrial companies in the United States. That company was Eastman Kodak. They missed the boat on digital camera. They went bankrupt.
Little minor thing. So what I'm trying to say is there's no such thing as anybody knowing for sure. But let's now use an educated guess. So I'm going to go to a young guy who happens to be the youngest guy in the room, because us old guys, you know, we have senior moments. So, Mike, what's your opinion? What's the market
going to do? Well, I'm an optimist, so I think it's going to rebound somewhat.
Okay, tomorrow.
Correct.
Okay, you and I are on the same boat. I think the worst it'll do tomorrow, this is my opinion and your opinion, there's no fact for this, is that it's going to stay flat at the worst and maybe rebound 100, maybe 150. If I was going to be I'll give you a $1 bet, you know, that's what I would gauge.
So now, you're saying it might be a buying opportunity.
Now, that's normally what happens when the market goes down big time. Some of the big guys, the big guns out there that make millions of dollars in the market, they like it when the market takes a big hit down, because they then say, this is a buying opportunity. I can run out a lot of the little investors, and I can come in and I can buy, and then I can resell at a profit later on. Now, let's talk about what are the things that makes the market do better? Well, one of the things, employment. Mm-hmm. If we have what's called full employment, which full employment by most people's definition means it's at a 5% unemployment level or lower, 4%, 5%. I don't know in my whole lifetime if I've ever seen it get below 4%. It might have for a couple of hours, but it just seems like that's the magic number that we can never get lower than. But what happens is when there's full employment, all of a sudden people start making a higher wage because good companies are now searching for people. When there's a ton of people available, they don't have to search.
Competition in the job market.
There you go. So, in fact, it was Bill Clinton. I was watching him on the tube doing he was talking about his foundation some years ago, and somebody said, what do you think about the economy and this inequality of wages? And Bill Clinton says, this will take care of itself. Now, the Democrats never talked about this ever. And the moderator said, what do you mean it'll take care of itself? He says, well, here's what happens. When unemployment's up around 10 or 15%, you run an ad in the paper, you get 300 people apply. You can pick and choose and get the best people in the world, and you don't have to pay them much. But when unemployment is down around 4 or 5%, you run that ad in the paper, you might get one or two people show up, and you might have to pay them a whole lot more than you were when unemployment was 10 or 15. So normally the inequality of wages starts to lop off some of the guys at the top and increase the guys at the bottom, because in order to keep good people, when business is humming along, you got to pay them more money. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, competition steals them away from you. So literally, we are into, according to government rules or the way the government estimates or guesstimates at unemployment, we're at this, quote, about full employment. So my guesstimate is that we may not, in fact, I never expected this year to be a runaway year period. I expected it to stay around 21,000, 21,500 on the Dow. So this little dip, I think, is 100% correlated only to politics. However, next week, Comey testifies in front of the Senate and the House, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could cause another perception of a major shakeup and problem, which could create another massive downrun in the market. So, Mike, if you and I were today saying, hey, should we buy stuff or should we wait?
Well,
what would you say, personally, your own money?
My own personal opinion is that you never look a gift horse in the face. I took this opportunity and this dip in the market and this dip in the interest rates to lock in about $3 million worth of loans today.
Okay, now that's loans, but let's talk about stock.
But it's all related.
Well, kind of, but it's not your own money. What I'm trying to say is, if it was me, my own money in a stock market, I'd wait till after next Wednesday. The only reason is, if Comey's testimony really is very damaging, the market's really going to, in my opinion, going to take a hit. Well, that's another big buying opportunity. Big buying opportunity. Because if it goes down 10% in 3 or 4 or 5 days, which could happen, it's happened many times in history, this is where people make a long dollar. Now, I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying even possibly. But I'm just giving you opinions on what happens when we're looking at the stock market. It's a gamble. On the other hand, if you'd have bought Microsoft some years ago, put $10,000 in, you'd be worth $1.5 million today.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd have bought Facebook when it first come out, you've done really well.
I made the mistake of buying Snapchat.
What happened?
Because my son said it was a good investment.
You see, here comes the criteria. There's no such thing as a perfect crystal ball, and that's what Alan said at the beginning in legalese. So we don't know. But when I look at now a person's retirement money, let's now talk a person that's going to be retired. Well, very often the word diversification is big in the market, right?
Yes.
So what happens is you end up buying, let's say, a mutual fund that has 100 companies in it. Well, if one company gets in trouble, you got 99 that are okay. So you've spread out your risk a bunch among a whole bunch of companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things. Real estate. I'm a monster believer right now in real estate. Real estate investment trusts. When I look at the market for real estate, when the economy is humming along doing well, the values of real estate keep creeping up. The demand exceeds the supply, and the value of real estate keeps creeping up. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a time when it'll go down? Sure enough. But right now, I think for the next foreseeable future, it's going to creep up.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
So literally, interest rates are historically still very low.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment is very low. We have a growing population. We need more housing.
The rental market is extremely strong right now.
Yep.
So what is on the market at a good price, investors are coming in, snapping those up and buying them and renting them out for huge profits.
Yep. So the whole concept is there's certain things that are not as market sensitive based on politics or other things that we kind of look at. And Alan, you and I talk about it. Mike, you and I talk about it. In fact, all of our group talks about it. And none of us are geniuses. If we were, we wouldn't be here today. We'd be sitting at home in our boxer shorts making millions of dollars per hour, you know, because that crystal ball is not perfect. But when I look at clients today, especially young people who have a pretty good long window, I said, you know, I like an insured investment that puts insurance behind the Standard & Poor's 500 and the NASDAQ 100. So I look and say, hey, you got 10, 15 years? I think this is a great, great time to be in, because historically, what's the S&P 500 average now for the last 15, 20?
About 10.5%.
I mean, 10.5% is a pretty good number. Now, have there been years where it made 20 and 30? Yeah. Have there been years where it lost 20 and 30? Yeah.
Yeah, 2008.
Yeah. So the key is this, is the crystal ball is not perfect, but you have to look at your long-term goal, what you're looking to do. When Mike wants to play a little bit in the market, or Alan does, or Joe does, we look for these, quote, entry points where maybe it's a bargain, or we look for certain companies that we think have a good opportunity, like Snap, who it might come back.
Well, that was a genius up until they released their earnings.
Yeah, I know. Boy, when they really plummeted, didn't they? When they, and here's a company that just went public that nobody in the world thought their earnings would plummet. Like, but that's called, that's just these, that's the gamble you take when you invest in that.
You know, the Bill Gates philosophy. Bill Gates said he buys companies, or when he was younger, he bought companies where he was doing business with.
Yep.
And
yep.
I was talking with Joe off the air, and I said, if I had just put a bunch of money into Amazon the second or third time I bought something off
truth?
Of that website, mm-hmm. I would have a tremendously higher value in my portfolio than I do now.
And, well, what is that trading at as...
I don't follow it, but bottom line is, if I'd have done the same thing, we'd have been worth a lot more money than I am today. Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett, his sidekick, and Bill Gates were all on a program last week, and Warren Buffett never invested in Amazon, but he thinks Jeff Bezos is probably the most brilliant guy in the whole world. But Warren Buffett couldn't get his arms around the concept of Amazon because it's more technology, things that are new.
Mike mentioned a few minutes ago that he is a little underwater with this newer stock, Snapchat, that came out. And that's just the point, that Snapchat, very few people, especially in our age bracket, yep. Joe, know exactly what Snapchat is, how you use it, why you use
it. Like you said, teenagers or kids, they know, right?
When Amazon first came out, we were in the same boat. What the heck is Amazon? They sell books. Big deal. I can't even see out of my glasses. I'm not going to read books. But when we started buying things off Amazon, that was a key. You know, what companies are doing well? What kind of shirts do you wear? What kind of cars do you drive?
And today, I don't think there's a person alive that doesn't know about Amazon, and I don't know anybody that doesn't buy something occasionally from Amazon. And I stuff for my boat, Mike, I mean, 90% of the stuff I buy for my boat today comes from Amazon.
I think it's important to say we're not in any way recommending that you buy Amazon. We're just using it as an example of a company that becomes a company that few people know about, and then everybody knows about it. And those are the companies that you have the big long-term gains.
But there is also another problem that happens, and all three of us have seen this happen regularly. When everybody out there is euphoric, saying, boy, oh boy, I'm making all kinds of money in the stock market, it might be too late to get in. Normally, the old rule is buy low, sell high. Well, the average person, when all their friends are happy with the stock market and everybody's making all kinds of money, it's too late. The old rule, when people are despondent and the market's way down, that's bargain time. But it's hard to switch gears intellectually to understand that.
You were talking about keys a few minutes ago as far as investment. Mike, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is there any way or any keys that you can see in the bond market that might give you a tip that a turn in the real estate market may be happening?
Well, you know, the interest rates have been at a historic low. So the bond market, and that's because the 10-year T-bill has been trading so low. It hasn't really fluctuated all that much in the last, couple of years.
Yeah,
correct?
Yeah. It's very, very little.
It's hard to say that that's going to be a trend in the industry, but in the real estate market. But obviously, when the bond market, when the yields go up and the interest rates follow along with it, it is going to eventually, you know, slow down the real estate market.
Well, let's go back to 1982 under Carter, give or take 82, when interest rates for mortgages were 16, 17, 18% because the government was trying to...
One moment, that was under Reagan in 82. Well, Carter was before 82.
Well, okay, whatever years it was, I was in real estate and I was sick to my stomach for a long time. That was when I worked a year and a half, 7 days a week just to stay alive, because interest rates were terrible, terrible. But what happened is the government in their all-knowing intelligence says, hey, when the inflation is running too high. We need to slow down inflation. And in order to slow down inflation, they raise interest rates very high to slow down people's spending and borrowing. And it works very well, but it puts a lot of people out of work and causes a lot of stress. But the government says we need to keep inflation under check, which has stayed now for years under check. So we are all expecting, and I think everybody sitting here is expecting, interest rates to start to continue to go up, one, and two, inflation to start going up, even though it's been a good while that it is not.
Well, what is fascinating, though, is you see the Fed trying to raise the rates.
Right.
But it's they're really having very little influence on the bond market.
Very little. But historically, it will happen. In the meantime, what we look for people when we try to give them advice is what their long-term goal might be, what they're trying to do. If they're looking to buy a house, look at for the last 3, 4, 5 years, interest rates have been unbelievably low. Real estate's been the best bargain in the whole world. You and I have sat and we've watched how many people that have bought a piece of real estate correctly and 2 years later sold it at a very good profit because the market is changing rapidly and going up.
Well, you know, over the last year, we've had about an 8 or 9% increase in real estate prices,
which
is way above the norm.
Right.
And, you know, I get people asking me every day, is this a bubble, a new bubble that's creating in the real estate market? And I have to say, probably not. And the reason I say that is because they're not building a whole lot more real estate.
Well,
And the real estate, the new real estate that is hitting the market, the new houses that are coming online, are on the $400,000, $500,000 price range.
Well, that's where the profit is. Stay with this thought for a minute and what you're just doing. When I looked at the real estate bubble, because I had a house in Sewell's Point that I sold for a ridiculous amount of money, and I was one happy camper. But what happened is the old rule is this. An old house should cost less than a new house.
Mm-hmm.
When all of a sudden an old house cost more than a new house, something's wrong.
Correct.
And that's exactly what happened because the real estate market, we had these non-conforming loans. People, they could fog a mirror, they could get a loan. Speculators were coming in, buying up stuff, looking to flip it. Mm-hmm. And the values skyrocketed, but they were not real values. When the market corrected because they stopped making all these crazy loans, all of a sudden the value of real estate plummeted. And normally the roller coaster goes too high and then it goes too low.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever figured out how to stay in the middle with this up and down. So in my not too humble opinion, real estate is still a bargain today because it's you can buy an existing home, have it fixed up as well as a new home, and it's still going to cost you less than a new home.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So the day will come, probably, because it always has, that rule will fall apart, and now you got a problem. But I don't think that's going to be for a good while. It's a good while.
And as a point of information, this is an audience participation talk show. So if you'd like to join us, please call 888-221-8990. Ask us any questions you want. We'd be happy to give you our best opinions. The whole MarTech team.
Or give us your
here.
Opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, listen,
I said this is audience
or experiences
talk
or
show.
Anyway, you know, we're very blessed people, everybody sitting here, and we've been able to help people. And it's one of the biggest things we try to do. We're not here necessarily try to make you invest or buy a house or do whatever. But if there's a way we can help you make your life better or answer a question, one of the things about having experience is you know more stuff than people that don't have experience.
That's just because we made more mistakes than most people.
Well, that's what our buddy
we
Dan.
We learn from our mistakes.
That's what our buddy Dan would say. He says, yep, experience is an accumulation of mistakes where you learn the hard way. But you know, every father in the world says to their son, hey, you don't need to make the same mistakes I did. You can learn from mine. Uh-huh. Right, Dad. Okay, you're an old guy. You don't know anything, right? You have to go out and make your own mistakes. That's called most of life. If once in a while a kid is brighter than his parents, which if most kids think they are, and they don't make the mistakes, they end up running the country, and then they can have Comey testifying against him in next week in front of the House and the Senate.
It's better to make the mistakes now than later in life.
There you go. Now, this phone number is important. 1-888, it's toll free from any place, 1-888-221-8990. We got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. We got Alan Love, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, here to answer questions that you might have on any subject. One of the things that happens with our group, even though Vince Rossino, CPA, is not here, and Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, is not here, and Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, is not here, and Greg Fasula, our other attorney, is not here, because we see each other constantly and talk, we have a lot of information stored in here. And we got a caller. I got to take this. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe, it's Patty Kay. How are you
today? Patty, very good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Life is good.
Goody, goody.
I have a question for you. Now, this is just an observation I made over the years.
Okay.
And it seems like when stocks are high, people tend to invest more in real estate. And then, like, when real estate's high, they invest more in stocks. Do you find that to be...
Well, here's what I think. I don't know if I heard this right, but when real estate prices are up and the stock market is up, that means people are really happy. They're euphoric. Now, the old rule is buy low, sell high, but most people buy high and then
take a loss.
And then take a loss. Because you know what happens, Patty? You talk to your next door neighbor and said, oh, my golly, I just did a wonderful thing. I bought this house and I sold it, made $100,000, or I bought some stock and I made $50,000. And you say, what'd you buy? And they say, oh, I bought this one. You should get it too. Well, guess what? When all of a sudden that value is up at the top, it might be too late to get in. So one of the old rules is when people are depressed, that's oftentimes the buy to find bargains. When everybody's euphoric and everybody's saying, boy, it's the greatest thing in the world, that's about the time to get out. And I did this with gold a couple of times with clients. When the price of gold got up too high, I said, man, you got to get out because it's going to take a hit. And from time to time, it will.
Anything will take a hit.
It just always seems like when for a while there, it seemed like when the real estate was really low, stocks were doing pretty good. But then when stocks weren't doing so good, real estate was doing better. So I don't know.
Well, the cycles can change a little bit. Like when the market was hotter than a pistol in real estate, going up, Mike, when it was booming before 2009, when prices were skyrocketing.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, too, we had, under the Clinton years, we had the S&P 500 making 20 and 25 and 27% every year for 6 and 7 years running. The market was hotter than a pistol.
Well, wouldn't you say that if you find that one market is overpriced, you look for alternative places to invest your money?
And that's a fair thing. So what happens is, Patty, when real estate becomes way too high in price, even though a lot of people think it's not going to change, it's probably not the right time to get in real estate. And when the stock market is, quote, overpriced, but you can find values in real estate, don't get into the stock market. Get into real estate instead.
Well, let's look a little bit into history.
Okay.
Historically, in 08, 09, that time period, real estate crashed, but also the stock market crashed at that time.
Yep.
Now, both real estate and the stock market are going higher.
Right.
But in the 50s, you had real estate doing very well, but the stock market basically did absolutely nothing for almost that whole decade.
The crystal ball, Patty, is not perfect by any stretch, but as we were talking earlier, basically when the economy is good, when unemployment is very low, the stock market should be a relatively good value and real estate should be a relatively good value. No guarantees on either one of those subjects, but if you can put all three together, the odds are pretty good you'll dink along. But when things get too hot, you remember when Alan Greenspan said things were overly exuberant because the market was, when the tech people were buying stuff that had no value? Well, was he right? Caused a crash. So I don't see anything on the horizon right now on anything, real estate or the stock market, that would even hint at that. It's my opinion.
All right.
Patty, thanks for calling. I'll tell.
Have a great day.
Vince, by the way, is over playing Grandpa on the other coast, so he's all.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
You have a good day.
You too. Bye.
1-888-221-8990. It's one of the things when I talk to people. If we're going to talk long term money, I mean, I'm good for the broad market, but boy, when I talk about short term, I'm saying now's not really the best time to get into the market. But on the other hand, if we're into real estate or we're into debt instruments, things that are paying 5, 6, 7, 8%.
If you were in exchange traded debt today, you'd be happy as a clam.
Happy as a clam. So the key is this: debt instruments means you're not in common stock. Well, guess what? When common stock takes a tank, a lot of people are jumping into debt instruments because they're not common stock. So All of a sudden your values, even though they don't change dramatically, go up a little bit. So anyway, there's certain things that we try to do individually and as a group is to educate people and make sure to help you make the decision you want. Let me take another call. Caller, Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Hi.
Hi.
I am 25 years old, and I have a question about getting into the market. I know that we're talking about looking at different points into getting into the stock market, and I'm 25 years old. I have not invested, and I want to start investing. So what could we, what should I do?
Well, here's number one. You're 25. Let's say you've got $5,000. Now, don't tell me how much you've got, but let's just use that number. And you say,
okay,
I want to take $100 or $200 a month and keep investing it and putting it into the market. What's the first thing I would do? Well, number one, if you don't have a 401k at work, I would look at an IRA, individual retirement account. You're allowed to put $5,500 a year into that. You can either put into one that is tax deferred, meaning you don't pay money on that and you get a tax deduction, or you go into a Roth, which says you pay tax on that money when you put it in, but when you take it all back out down the road when you're an old guy, 100% of it's tax-free. So that's the first thing I would look at. Secondly, if you're in a company that has a 401k, do you know what I'm talking about, 401k?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I would 100% get into that company 401k if they match any portion of what you put in. So let's say you put in $100 a month, and they'll put in $100 a month. That's 100% return on your money immediately. That's the smartest thing in the world you can do. So when you're young, if you got a company that has a 401k, definitely get into that. If you don't, the next thing I would set up is looking for long-term as an IRA. But the next thing I might be concerned about, are you married yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, do you have children?
We have one on the way.
And do you own a house?
Not yet.
And you're going to?
Would like to.
My guess is this. Before I would start investing, this is Joe Martek talking. This is your father now, maybe your grandfather. I would say,
okay,
before you start investing, buy your house. Once you have your house and your baby and your life is pretty well focused and you have extra money, at that point, you can start saving. Because a lot of people put money aside to save for long term, but then they need it to go buy a house or other expenses that were maybe somewhat foreseen, but not totally foreseen. The other side of the coin is, I normally tell people you should have $5,000 to $10,000 sitting in the bank in case. We're going to call it case money, emergencies, unemployment, major health problems, something. So, yeah, you want to save and invest, but you got to put the cart and the horse in a proper order.
Okay.
All righty?
That makes sense. Thank
now,
you.
If you ever want to talk about it specifically, call back, and you can call me and talk to me in the office or whatever. I'm glad to guide you, give you my opinions. And I'm not saying I'm going to be right 100% of the time. Well, on the other side of the coin is, if you have a government job and you know you're never going to get laid off and never get fired and you're not the president of the United States, you might say, I don't have to worry too much about future employment because this is my career path and I'm reasonably sure I'm going to go. So the rules change a little bit to when you might be unemployed for whatever the reason might be if you work for another company or whatever might come along. So we have to put all of these things in the hat to help make that decision.
And there's
okay.
Thank you for your advice.
Yeah,
there's so many good mortgage programs out there, too, with down payment assistance programs, very small down payments. We have a couple programs with no down payment at all. So
yeah,
now is a good time get involved in
the if I were you and you got that baby coming, the first thing I'd be doing is talking to your wife and say, hey, let's find out what we can qualify for to buy a house today, under today's circumstances. That doesn't mean you need to do it, but at least you'd have a feel for what you can do. Got it?
Well, We got it. Definitely, we've talked about something that we want to look into, especially I'm just hearing the program. It is definitely a good time to buy and just to have as a long-term investment.
Well, what happens is this. You left your number here. Mike Paulus is sitting here, and he's the mortgage guy. And here's what Mike would do, something, and I'm speaking for Mike, but he would say, okay, give me your name, and he would find out right away, run a credit report and check out and tell you what you qualify for. So you'd know within 15 or 20 minutes over the phone. It doesn't cost you a nickel to find out.
Great. So we could do that off the air, but I appreciate your help.
Okay.
Very good.
Thanks a lot. Okay, I got another call.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so here comes another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, Joe. I had called you last week and about amortization. I did call back. I got a different person, but they still told me that they couldn't do it.
Mike, here comes the lady that she called up her lender. She wants an amortization schedule on her mortgage. They won't give it to her. You ever heard of such a thing?
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
Have you heard of a lender? Now let
it's a software program that every lender has.
I don't understand.
Now sessions to run.
Now your lender's a regular bank. I mean, it's not you don't have Joe Martek holding your mortgage. You got a real bank or somebody like a bank, right?
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, if they're not willing to give it to you, we can probably prepare one for you if you'd like. It's a free software program that we have.
Here's what we'll do. Mike, you left your name and number here today, right? With Pastor Tom?
I didn't give it to him this time.
Well, give me here's what you do. You put you on a hold. No, I can't put you on hold because the system here doesn't work.
Call back
right away. Talk to Pastor Tom and say, hey, give Mike Paulus my phone number so he can do the amortization schedule. Did you get the phone number? Guess what? Pastor Tom said, yes, he did. You see? And you thought just because he was an old guy, he had no memory. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. He just showed me he did it. So Mike will give you a call tomorrow and see what we can do for it.
Okay.
Have a good
day. Thank you so much.
Call me anytime, okay?
All right.
Bye. 1-888-221-8990. Now, there might be another call here, but I don't know how to answer it. Hey, Pastor Tom. He's hiding in a corner. Is there another call? How do I get on it?
No, that was...
That's not a call.
That's not another call.
It's just a red blinking light that says, I don't know what we're doing. Thank you.
There.
1-888-221-8990. An amortization schedule, that's got to be the easiest thing in the world. Does it make any sense at all that a lender wouldn't do that?
I can't imagine why. Why they would refuse to do that.
Now, let's just say I'm holding a mortgage on a piece of property and I don't want to go through the effort because I'm not a real legitimate lender. I'm just you and me.
If you're holding a private mortgage, I can understand that you don't have the tools to do that.
Yeah, but not a company that does mortgages.
Especially a servicing company.
Yeah,
servicing your mortgage. There should be no reason why they couldn't do that.
Makes no sense.
You just said the secret word. That's really one of the hallmarks of your team, Joe, that everybody on your team will go that extra mile, that will do the effort to try and help people. And that's why I'm privileged to be able to sit in with you and listen and learn from all of you. It's terrific.
See, Alan, what happens, he sits in because he gets in a chair and he won't leave until the show's over, so I got to put him on the radio. Anyway, he showed up today up in Fort Pierce ostensibly to talk to the owner of the radio station, but he kind of snuck into the show up there yet. We had a good time on that show, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Let me take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Mr. Martek, good evening. How you doing?
Hey, listen, we're doing very well. Thank you.
You sound really good to me. That's why I'm calling you. Now, I had a question I want to ask you. In this time of all what we're going through for a first-time home buyer, do you see it anywhere profitable buying a two-bedroom house for like $120,000 to $130,000?
It all depends on the location.
Where are you looking at?
I'm in Port St. Lucie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the answer is yes. Port St. Lucie, $120,000, $130,000. You can find a house for that price. I'd look at it pretty hard. I think it's that today. That's a good number today. And I'm giving you a generality because the average prices are pushing $200,000.
And you know what we're doing? I don't know where you're looking in St. Lucie County, but the city of Fort Pierce has some down payment assistance money. So if you're interested in that area, I'm actually working on two loans that have the down payment assistance program. And the city is offering these two borrowers $10,000 each for the assistance and down payment and closing costs.
Can you hear that?
Oh, my God. I hear that, but guess what? No.
What?
I already gone through, and I hear about the program that the county had the program that they would assist first-time home buyers.
Right.
And when I said that and mentioned that to him, then he came back and told me that when I check it out, I'm making too much money. I'm not qualified for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a different program, so I don't know all their criteria. But if you call the city of Fort Pierce, because the county, we were involved with the county down payment assistance program as well. But the county of St. Lucie County, they ran out of funds. But Fort Pierce still has some funds available.
You know, and there's some really good deals in Fort Pierce and some really nice neighborhoods, too. You know, so there's something what happened
is... is like that. I work in Fort Pierce, but I don't like it for a living facility, so I didn't bother with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's up to you. Listen, you left your name and number, and you want Mike to give you a call off the radio tomorrow and talk to you about mortgage financing and what to do?
Oh, yes, sir, because I already gone through... waiting on the closing... it should be in June, about the 15th, 16th of June.
You bought a what?
I said the closing.
You're closing, you're selling it in June, or you're buying it?
Buying it.
Okay, well, then you don't need a new mortgage. You've already got one, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, if there is anything you can call me and encourage me about, I would appreciate it. You know?
Well, he's got your name and number. Mike, get some time. He'll give you a call. You guys can commiserate a little bit. But the bottom line is that's what he does. He helps people get financing, and then he doesn't, you know, you can counsel over the phone to make sure you get the right deal. So, hey, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling, and good luck on the closing.
Oh, you guys are doing a wonderful job. Keep it up, man.
Thank you, thank you. 1-888. I think we're almost out of time. What time we got? 1-8. Yeah.
It's a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. We may not even have time for another phone call because, you know, we're down. And Pastor Tom's hiding out there, so I don't have these flashcards flashing at me telling me. Oh, here, he just picked up his. He had assistance helping last few weeks, and he's really forgotten his job here.
I'm multitasking.
You're multitasking. You know, you're getting skinny running back and forth answering that phone.
Well, probably the only exercise I get this week.
How much time do we have?
I don't know. You're about out of time. You're about done.
Should we say goodbye?
Say goodbye, Joe.
Hey, goodbye, Joe. We'll see you all next week. Thank you so much for calling.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
Sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin.
come find your mercy. Oh, sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your